learn and wanting to grow. And I think it's my third time here. Yeah? And I'm watching the seasons change. Because the first time I came here, it was like hot, hot, hot. And then the second time I came here, it was like warm. And today it's like chilly. And I learned two things on the train today. Well, one regular theme of coming to Manhattan is Baruch Hu Elokeinu Shebra'anu L'Kvodo V'Hivdilanu Min HaTovim V'Nasam Lanu Toras Emes. This is from our tefillah right before Aleinu, which is, thank you, God, you made me a Jew. Which, when you walk through Manhattan, you really get that feeling reinforced each time. So I embrace the opportunity to come to Stern to reinforce that feeling, because in Paraguay, you know, we're in the shtetl, so we just don't really get the exposure. And the other one is there's a big Rangers game tonight. As the train pulled into Jamaica Station, where I had to switch, I saw tons of people wearing Rangers clothing, and I'm like, and you are here in the midst of your midterms to hopefully be inspired by me, and Hashem Spasai Tiftach Ufiya Getihila Secha. I was speaking with Mrs. Cement about what my topic is. What does it say on the flyer? Strengthen and who knows? Nobody. Except you're getting a little review tonight.
Okay, great. I'm so excited.
Is that fine?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's always great.
Reviews are great. Okay, good. What does it say on the flyer? Strengthen ourselves. It's really very ambiguous. Avodas Hashem. Right. So it's really very ambiguous, and I'd love your feedback as to what you might want from me. I have really like 60 shiurim that I could choose from, and I have a whole bunch that are specifically on midos and things like that. And then I have what I did the last two classes, which was really what was called for, was time of year and what we can learn from time of year. And then I prepared, then I have a shiur tonight on the time of year that we're in now, which Sid heard already. So hey, all good. Nobody else did that's here, but everybody else can enjoy it. And Chazara, Chazara! It's good. It's always good. Baruch Hashem. So, as I was walking in here, I met the lovely Serena, and she said to me, you know, it's the middle of midterms, and I'm coming to a shiur, because you can't only go to shiurim, she was talking to her, one of her rabbeim, and you can't only go to shiurim, you can't only be a Yamim Noraim Jew. You have to be inspired all year. And I said to her, that's exactly what I was going to speak about tonight. So, how opportune that is our topic about how to move into Cheshvan and what the opportunities of Cheshvan are. Unrelated to what I'm going to share with you, just a beautiful thought on Cheshvan. I recall the childhood theme of Cheshvan was always the person holding an umbrella. Can you picture your classroom? Yeah, right? Person holding an umbrella, that's Cheshvan, because it's the rain month. But also with Cheshvan was that whole Mar Cheshvan, which is Mr. Cheshvan, and that Cheshvan is associated with bitterness. And a message that I read on last year on H.com, and it was, they didn't quote B'Shane Me, but it's just a beautiful idea, which is simply truthful, because it has to be truthful. I'd love you, I never use chalk. Chalk is so fun, but it really is, and it makes that noise. Look how clean this board is also. It doesn't look like it's really used much. Is that true? I don't see a marker for this, or I'd use this. But if you take the word mar, and you turn it around, you know what you get? Rum. And what's rum? Exalted, uplifted, unbelievable. And our job in life is to take what's mar and make it rum. Make it up. So that's everything in life, always. And specifically in Cheshvan, in this month, which is called Mar because it is bereft of any specific Jewish holidays, but is an opportune time to figure out what the yearly service is about, since we have ended the month of exalted divine service in that sense of Yamim Noraim. And I'm sharing with you a message from Rabbi Avram Shor, who lives in Brooklyn, New York, Hayom. And it is from his Lakach V'Halivo. And he quotes the Gemara in Bava Basra. Samach, and I apologize, I did want to make a source sheet for you, and I did not. And apologies are for you. Tanya Amar Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha. So we're told that Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha said, Miyom Shecharav Beis HaMikdash, from the day that the Beis HaMikdash was Nechrav, was destroyed, Dinhu Shenigzor Al Atzmenu Shelo Le'efol Basar, it really should be the halacha that we should not eat meat, V'lo Lishtot Yayin, we should not drink wine. Why? Again, Baba Basra Samach. Dinhu. This is the halacha. This should be the halacha from the day Miyom Shecharav Beit HaMikdash. From the day we lost our Beit HaMikdash, this should be our halacha. But they didn't do it. Ela im gozrin gzeira ala tzibor, ela im kein rov hatzibor yicholim la'amon ba. We don't make a gzeira on the tzibor unless rov hatzibor yicholim la'amon ba, which means that the majority of the tzibor yicholim la'amon ba can, people, stand in it. It means they can uphold it. They can keep it going. They can keep it going. Im ein hatzibor yicholim la'amon ba, is the ein yicholim la'ayot halacha. It can't be the halacha that rov hatzibor yicholim la'amon ba. So first message is, which will be our end message, diracha darchei non. The ways of the Torah are pleasant ways. The ways of the Torah are pleasant, and every Torah halacha is meant to be a halacha that we can live with. If we can't live with it, it's not halacha. In fact, I'll just share you a little bit of white shul trivia and Jewish trivia. How many of you in your shuls, right, do this Eitz Chaim? Eitz Chaim, familiar? And everybody gets so into it. We have a man sitting right down in our men's section. His name is Tanchum Portnoy. He should live and be well. It is his composition. How cool was that? Really cool, right? Right? Everybody, like, it's sung in all shows. His composition that, like, he just came up with in college one day and, like, it passed it on to some composers. And okay? The ways of the Torah are pleasant. They're pleasant. The ways of the Torah are achar darchinom, and I'm going to share with you something that that is a fascinating, if you'd like to look it up yourself. It's in last week's parsha in Noach, Meshech Chachma. If you've studied the Meshech Chachma, the Meshech Chachma talks about the fact that the pasuk says Vayetzei Noach ubanav, Noach and his sons went out. Vayomer lahem Hashem. Anyone know what Hashem said to them first?
Our Meshech Chachma Bereishis is missing.
Then you can't know.
I know.
But your Torah is not missing. So I'm asking you, what's the first, if you were followed the Torah reading this week, or you studied, or you did Shnayim Nikra Be'echad Targo? Anybody? No? Okay. First thing said to them, or you were in shul on Shabbos, and you followed along the laning, the first thing they're told is, anybody want to hazard a guess? Who said it? That's your name? Nechama, good job. They're told Pru Ravun. From here we learn that the mitzvah of Pru Ravun is a mitzvah for
men.
Okay, it's from this week's Parsha. And the Meshech Chachma says something fantastic, and look it up yourself if you can find your Meshech Chachma on Bereishis. What does that mean? The base medrash here?
Yeah, the base medrash is missing. Our Bernstein put out an email. No one found it. Somebody needs to be made sure they have
it. Yeah, I don't know. Or somebody can just buy another one and put it in the base medrash.
That's another option.
And then it has to be stamped and cataloged and all things, right? Probably. The Rav Meir Simcha, who was the Meshech Chachma, Rav Meir Simcha means Vince, says something so fantastic for us as women, by the way. He says, one of the proofs of Derech HaDarchinah, this is not the one that's fantastic for us as women, is that the Torah only gives us one. There is only one biblical fast day. We're not Muslims who fast for 40 days. Derech HaDarchinah, the ways of the Torah are pleasant. One day a year, the Torah says, which we're going to talk about that day in a minute, this is the day that you are like Malachim, Yom Kippur. That's the only day, V'inu es nafsha seichem, and make your souls suffer, afflict yourselves. Otherwise, there are none. But on this specific one, where men are commanded, Pru Ravu, and not women, The Meshech Chachma says he has a number of reasons, which if you'd like to look it up yourselves, if you can find it. But he says something phenomenal. He says that, and in his day this was still very much the reality, in Baruch Hashem, in our day it's barely the reality. I've heard of two cases in my lifetime thus far. Women regularly died in childbirth. Therefore, he says, under that principle, we can understand that God would never obligate women to bear children. Then he does say, will a woman naturally want to anyway? Yes, she will. So men are okay, because they get the mitzvah and the women want to anyway, so it works out. And in fact, he says, one of the reasons he says is that men need to be commanded, because they won't settle down unless they're commanded. So they need to be commanded. Once they settle down, they're happy they did. But that's what the Meshech Chachma says. Derachah derachinom, the ways of the Torah are pleasant. Back to our Gemara that we just quoted, that the halacha should have been that since there is no longer a holy temple standing in Jerusalem, nobody should ever eat meat or drink wine, which is, by the way, the practice during the 9 days, right? During the 9 days, we don't eat meat or drink wine unless we just, you know, miraculously are Messiah in something every single day. These are expressions of mourning, and specifically the loss of a mikdash. And but he says, "Ein hatzibur yachol avmod ba." But the congregation would not be able to do it, so therefore we don't enforce it. And understanding this, we are understanding that there is a very human need. There's a very human need to enjoy things like meat and wine or bourbon and bison, whatever it might be, that is a very human need. That is something too human to tell the Jewish people that you could never have it would not be possible. So he says, therefore, like I said earlier, the Yom Kippur experience is even further emphasized as a superhuman experience. It's a superhuman experience to the point where he quotes the Sefer Dover Yisharim that says that the Su'udah before Tisha B'Av is called Su'udah HaMaseket, which is Lahafsik, means to stop. That we're stopping to eat. And he says the idea of stopping to eat before Tisha B'Av is stopping to eat because we're mourning so much. The idea of stopping to eat before Yom Kippur is that we are about to become angels. We're about to become angels. So we're stopping to eat. There's this angelic experience, and we're stopping to eat. And he says a person can even have a mindset that they're eating the last meal of their lives. So that I'm off second, that I'm stopping. And that the experience of Yom Kippur, which, by the way, you're having midterms, Yom Kippur is less than 1 month ago. Isn't that crazy? How much happens in such a short time? Time just like runs. It's almost a month, but we're not up to Yud Heshvan. So it's less than a month. The experience of Yom Kippur is to be Domet to Malachei Asharei. And it's a Yom Tov. Even though it's the day of Einisem Es Nafsho Sechem, it's the day when you're afflicting your souls, it's considered a Chag. And we say, Chag Sameach, Chag Yantif, on Yom Kippur, that is appropriate. It is a Chag, and in fact we know that it is the ultimate Chag, and the other term that Yom Kippur is called is Shabbos Shabbosom. It is the Shabbos of all Shabboses. It is the ultimate Shabbos, is the Yom Kippur experience, which is an abstention from all human pleasure. That is the Yom Kippur experience, and it's called Shabbos Shabbosom. In fact, very interesting, and I don't remember who said this, but somebody, Bensi Brown, told my husband this part, and he said it in Shul last year, and it's a beautiful part just in his understanding. We know that all other fast days are nidche when they show up on Shabbos, and it's like that. You know, Tisha B'Av comes around and Shabbos says, "No, I don't want you. I'm Shabbos. I come first." Thomas Esther can't show up on Shabbos, but other ones can. And when they come, Shabbos just says, "I don't want you." But Yom Kippur, Devakash. It's the one day that can actually take over Shabbos. It is Shabbos Shabbosom. It is such a lofty, high, spiritual day. And it's a Yom Tov. And the concept of Shabbos, quotes the Pasuk in Yeshayah Nunchet, Az Tis'aneg Al Hashem. It is the day of absolute pleasure with Hashem. Shabbos is, the Pasuk in Yeshayah says, Im Tashiv Mishabbos Raglecha, you stop doing everything you normally do. Aso Chetzecha B'Yom Kachi, you don't do your business on my holy day. This will be a pleasurable day. Not to be involved in the material world, not to be involved in the business world, is a pleasurable day, we all agree. But then the pleasurous, which is not a word, but the most pleasurable day, the most pleasurable day is Yom Kippur. It is the Shabbat Shabbaton. It is the most pleasure because on that day, I am reaching an angelic level. I am at a level of Malachi Asharis, and that is the ideal of life. Is it? So his question is, why is it that the first thing we're supposed to do after we make Havdalah when Yom Kippur is over is eat? Eat! Eat, people, eat. You're not supposed to keep Yom Kippur going. You're supposed to eat, and then comes Sukkot, and you're supposed to, you know what happens on Sukkot. Eat and 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 eat. And keep eating for the rest of the year according to the Torah, because there are no more fast days in the Torah anyway. So we will have our breaks, but there are no more fast days. And from here we get to our last, our life lesson. So he quotes the Kutzke Rebbe. Pasuk says, Va'anshei Kodesh Chiyuli. You should be holy Anashim, which are, we're going to translate Anashim, we know is men, but Anshei Kodesh in this context is people. You know what I want you to be? I don't want you to be angels. I want you to be people, okay? This is, it's fun to use chalk. I haven't used chalk in so many years. The Anshe Kodesh Tihyuli. You should be people who are holy. You should be people who are holy. And he quotes the Kutzke Rebbe, and he says, She'en machsor l'Hashem Yisbarach, Malachei Elyon, Tzrafim, V'chayot HaKodesh. God is not lacking angels and celestial beings. He has plenty of them. He wants us to be living people in his world, but living people who are Kodesh. Anshe Kodesh. Anashim of Kodesh. And that this may seem oxymoronic, but it's not a contradiction. It's something that can actually be very harmonious. To be, for us, an Isha of Kodesh. A woman who is holy. That this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for. He is looking for harmony, Anshei Kodesh, which in fact, if we look back at the creation story, which was 2 weeks ago's Parsha, we know that Hashem took Afar min HaAdama, he took earth, and what did he combine with it? Nishma Chayim, a soul. This is the harmony of the human being. The harmony of the human being is the juxtaposition of earth and soul, of material and spiritual, and that is something that angels don't understand, they don't possess, they can't be. And he says, I just love this line, Ein machzor. Machzor. God is not lacking. He's not lacking angels. He wants to see, can we be people who are kodesh? Can we be people who are kodesh? Can we be people who look at this world and say, I can elevate it. I can do something great with it. That's what it means to be anshei kodesh. People who are in this world to elevate this world. In fact, if we can just go back to the past week's parsha again and then move on to this coming week's parsha. Very little is understood about the Dor HaFlaga, if you've learned about that Tower of Babel. I always like to go back to like my elementary school memories of what I learned. So I just did that with the umbrella. And some things are a cross-section in all elementary schools. The medrash that most schools learn, nod your heads or smile if this is correct, is that when God mixed up their languages, one person asked for a tissue, and no, but the other guy didn't understand him, so he threw down a hammer and he killed him. Remember that one? Anybody? Yeah, that's the one we learned, right? But in understanding what they were supposed to do, and the medrash says, Kotzei Benitzio, they're looking to cut themselves off from God. They were taking their paths as people, and they were saying, no connection. We're looking to make ear, migdal, rosho b'shamayim. We are looking to disconnect from God and not need him. In fact, our Pincus quotes an obscure medrash says, which is totally inane, that they actually thought that building this tower, they could stop the heavens from falling down again, which is wild. But the objective of people is be kodesh. Be kodesh. That is what God wants to see. People in world purpose is find kodesh. In fact, just to quote a Rav Huttner for you because it's such a gorgeous one. He says, the Vilna Gaon says that whatever was needed for Shabbos was created on Erev Shabbos. What was created on Erev Shabbos that was needed for Shabbos? Just like we prepare for Shabbos, God prepared for Shabbos. Whatever was needed for Shabbos was created on Erev Shabbos. What was created on Erev Shabbos? People. There can't be sanctity in the world unless there's somebody who can recognize it. There can't be sanctity in the world unless there's somebody who can actually discern. That's das. Discern that even though it looks like a material world, it can be holy. And until that person is created, there can't be Shabbos. There can't be sanctity in the world at all because there's nobody to recognize it. There's nobody to actually discern. So that my experience in life is that I have to be, just to quote the Katzke Rebbe, Shmirat HaKdusha B'maaseh Enosh V'tach B'lotach, to guard the Kedusha in people things. To guard the Kedusha in the things that people do. That in all my people experience, in all my person experiences, I can guard the Kedusha and I can place sanctity in that human experience. And that, just to go back to where we started, that's the Cheshvan experience. That's the Cheshvan experience is, you know, last week, it's amazing, last week was the first full week of school, pretty much, right? You have midterms already. Last week was the first, like, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. And all of a sudden, we're going to get back into that cycle again, and it's going to go. And that's life. And the life after Yamim Noraim, which is Cheshvan, is, okay, you had that angel experience, now make your spiritual experience human. Can you be Anshei Kodesh? Can you be human people who live a spiritual life? And that's what I'm longing for, that's what I'm looking for, that's what I want as a Jew. Can I plug in wherever I am to make it a spiritual experience? That in every aspect of my life, I can. As we said in our Musaf prayer, Ve'avisa tehila mikrutze chomer. You want praise from people who are made of just material. It's amazing. Hashem wants our avoda. He wants our avoda, and we can find wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we need to find the spirituality in that experience. And it's an amazing thought to focus on. But I'm trying to think where I quoted this from, and I'm sorry because it's not in my notes. But God did not create anything in this world that can't be elevated for Kedusha. If the Yetzer Hara was created in this world by God, then anything we do with the Yetzer Hara can be elevated to Kedusha. This has to be part and part of principle. Anything that God created can be Kedusha. There is nothing absent that can't be. Well, nothing was not a good start. Everything that is here can be elevated. What is the antithesis of Kedusha? People take what God created and invest it with Tumah. People take what God created and they putrefy it. But everything in God's world can be Kedusha. And if you want to start running things through your mind that aren't Kedusha, hopefully you don't know about any of them. But if you do know about some experiences that people have in this world that are not holiness, we know that everything that is holiness, that everything that is not holiness, could be holiness. Isn't that a wild thought, right? So that the dirtiest experience in the human world, which is called dirty, right? What's called dirty, so you don't want to watch dirty movies that have dirtiness in them, right? Is what we call lahavdil kiddushin, holiness. So again, man can putrefy God's world, but every aspect of God's world can be elevated from the most human things we do, which are the things we share with animals. And the Gemara lists the things we share with animals. Among them, we go to the bathroom and we procreate. Those are very animalistic things that we do, and we elevate them. We elevate them. We elevate those experiences. Every experience in life can be elevated. I walk out of the bathroom, and what do? And I'll show you Yatzar. What is a Jewish soldier told to do when he goes out to war? Does anyone know? This is halacha in the Torah. Supposed to take a shovel with him. If he has to go to the bathroom in public, he digs a hole, he covers it up. We live a life of Kedusha. That is the Jew. Take this world, elevate. Make it great. Make every experience that you're experiencing, make it holy. Make it amazing. And again, everything is a choice. How do I use it? What do I use it with? And what do I make that experience? And that's really what my day-to-day life choices are about. My day-to-day life choices are about. You know, one of the nice things that I do in my shul is I meet with girls who are in their bat mitzvah year. Usually I do it once every other year. The girls who just became 12, within 2 years, I do once a year in Oneg. And one thing I always ask girls who are turning 12 or who have turned 12, here's the question. What's the first mitzvah that you did when you became a bat mitzvah? Anybody want to hazard if you remember that day? You remember your party. I'm talking about the actual day, your Hebrew birthday. When you became a bat mitzvah. Anybody remember that day? No. Okay, well, I'll tell you, this is just a nice idea so you can take notes from Mrs. Handelman. That's my mother. She should live to be well. She has four daughters. Girls do not have the, Tefillin Aliyah laning experience, at least in our Orthodox community. So she would either bake challah or buy a new utensil so that we could make a bracha that we were not able to make before, because somebody who's under the age of mitzvot cannot make the bracha on hafrashas challah, and somebody under the age of mitzvot cannot make the bracha on tevilas kelim. So that's something that she would do. But that wasn't our first mitzvah. Nobody wants to hazard a guess? Well, considering that the Jewish day starts at night, or by Shkia, our birthdays start, say Sachochavim, when the stars come out, which today was probably around 5:45, something like that, right? What are most families doing if a girl's birthday is today? What was she doing then? At 5:45, what was she doing? Eating supper, right? Dinner. She's eating supper. So her first mitzvah that she's doing as a bat mitzvah is possibly... anybody? What would it be if she's eating dinner? Making a bracha. Making a bracha or... somebody? Somebody said something. I think they said the answer I wanted. Say it again. Kibud Avaim. Very good. She's listening to her mother. Those are probably, possibly, the first experiences that are mitzvot of our life. But maybe she was never cognizant of that because she's thinking about her party. Either way, what I'm trying to show them by sharing that with them is that the cognizance of being somebody who keeps mitzvot is the cognizance that everything I'm doing is an opportunity for a mitzvah. Everything I'm doing has an opportunity at every moment of my life. I have the opportunity with those 613 commandments to elevate every moment of my life. And that is my job, to elevate this world, to use it to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, and not to, God forbid, abuse it or become gluttonous in it. So that is the avoda of a Jew. Gluttony is the opposite of Kedusha. So we're going to go forward in that. Rav Pinkus in Parshas Ki Tzeitzei talks about the war with the Yetzer Hara. He says, the thing that the Yetzer Hara steals from you most is your ratzon, your desire, what you want in life. The things you want in life. And Rav Dessler talks about something he calls the Mabat HaEmet, which is the perspective of truth. So the best way to know if I'm really elevating my life are, what are my motivations for doing anything that I do? And to look at my motivations and understand my motivations. Rabbi Yechiel Per has a lovely book, which I forgot what it was called, and it's not in my notes now, so I can't share with you. But he says, you could regularly take a walk or drive down Central Avenue, or go down to the boardwalk in our neighborhood, and you'll find people at 6 a.m. puffing away as they're taking their morning run. And if you ask them why they're running, what are they going to say? What would be the answer? Why are you running at 6 a.m.? What might be an answer? I want to be healthy. What's the real answer for most people? Some people, that really is the answer. What's the answer for a lot of other people? Nobody wants to say? I want to look good. I want to look good. So here, it's the same experience. What is my motivation to examine my life? What is really motivating? Mabat HaEmet, what is motivating me? Why am I doing what I'm doing? In fact, Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev says on this week's Parsha, that Vayomer Hashem el Avraham, Hashem says to Avraham, Lech lecha me'artzecha. That was my first pasuk. Anybody else? We started in Lech lecha in Breuers in my day. Most schools start, I think, today with Bereshis, right? Anybody Lech lecha? Yeah? Vayomer Hashem el Avraham, Hashem said to Avraham. So I know those took in my heart. Lech lecha, go for yourself, me'artzecha from your land, and Lech lecha from your... So Avraham is told, Lech Lecha, and Hashem tells him, Eschalot Gadol, you're going to be a great nation. Avarechacha, and he didn't have children yet. Avarechacha, I'm going to bless you. Your name is going to become great. Mekalecha, or anybody who curses you, I'll curse. Anyone who blesses you, I'll bless. Life is going to be great for you. And again, a lot of people can tell you life is going to be great and you don't have to believe them. But if it's God, you're pretty good. And in fact, Rashi says, Lech Lecha. What does it mean, Lecha? Go Lecha for yourself. Lehan Atcha v'litovatcha. It is for your pleasure and your good. And yet we consider this Lech Lecha experience as one of Abraham's great big... What is it? It's a nisayon. It's a test. What's the test if God tells you it's going to be really good? So again, when you're learning your parsha or doing your parsha studies for this week, so I've gone through the last 3 weeks' parshas with different things that I've shared with you today. When you're doing your parsha studies for this week, you will find out that there really were significant tests for Avraham in this experience of Lech Lecha. But yes, God guarantees it's good. Says Rav Levi Yitzchak, the first thing we can learn from this is, why are you doing what you're doing? Even a mitzvah, you could be doing it for the wrong motivations. What we're looking to do is uplift God's world. So yes, it might even be good for me to wear my beautiful new dress that I got for Shabbos. I might feel really good in that dress, and maybe I look really good in it. But how much do I elevate it if I say, L'chvod Shabbos Kodesh? I lift it up. I lift up that experience. And what I need to do in life is to be having that motivation, to understand what are my motivations, what motivates me, what do I like, what do I think about. You know what you like, by the way. Isn't that true? You know what you like. People who are very into manicures know all the nail polish colors. True? We may know people like that. They know all the different colors. And boys know all the stats and the scores of the teams that they're playing. What you're interested in, you know. Okay? What are our interests? What do we like? Why do we like what we like? What's motivating my life? The Yetzer Hara can steal our paycheck, can steal our motivation. We have to get our motivation back. We have to be motivated all year to elevate my life. To elevate my life. And you are the girls in the middle of midterms to come at 8 o'clock to a shiur. So already give yourselves a pat on the back that you are looking to elevate your lives, that that's something you want, that that's something that you care about, that you want to do that, and that every experience that I have, wherever I go, every part and parcel of God's world is holy. Again, it's humanity that makes it dirty. Humanity makes it dirty. God's world is holy. Before they had what they have on Times Square, that land was holy with God's world. God's world. Humanity makes it dirty. Beautiful. Every place, by the way, this is a fantastic Sichos Musar. I'm taking to next week's Parsha, because that's where I'm going in my head, to Chaya Sara. But it's something that Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says. But any place God puts you in life that you didn't have a choice, so you have to be there, you can elevate. I'll tell you what the Sichos Musar says in a second. But my son is a severely impaired young man who's 11 and a half years old, trach feeding tube. And he spent the first 2 years of his life mostly in the hospital. And the second year, the first year, he was born in Eretz Yisrael. And he brought us to America. So that was Hashem's Mechid Mitzadei Gavar plan. And in that first year in America, he was in Mineola in the hospital, in, what's that hospital called? I forgot for the moment. Mineola. He was in North Shore. He was in LIJ. He was in Beth Israel. He was in Westchester. And I just said, we are picking up mitzotot of Kedusha everywhere. That's why we have to go everywhere. Everywhere in America, just to spread Kedusha and bring Kedusha wherever we're going, which is why we have to be in all these crazy hospitals on all different holidays. Should I tell you the story first or tell you what the Sichos Musar says first? I'll tell you the Sichos Musar first. Sichos Musar says, you should know. Okay, so this is a lesson in Parshas Vayetzara, if you want to check it out. He says that if you were put in Nisayon, so God put you in Miniola for Rosh Hashanah, that means you can elevate that experience and you will be successful. You'll have Siyata Dishmaya because he put you in that Nisayon. But don't think that you're going to walk into a bar and say, God's going to give me Siyata Dishmaya and help me. You gave the Nisayon to yourself. You hear the difference? So if God gives you the Nisayon, you can elevate it. You put yourself in Nisayon, get yourself out. Don't go there, which is a fantastic lesson. And I'll tell you the story that happened in Miniola because it's a fantastic story of just Hashgacha Pratis and how Hashem was looking out for me. Which he does for all of us always. We just have to recognize it all the time. So, as I mentioned, my son was born and hospitalized for the first 6 months of his life in Arzeno HaKadosha. And I have to tell you that the hospital experience in Eretz Yisrael is very, 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 very safe and warm because you're with Amcha. Your nurses are your family. Your doctors are your family. They're not always so friendly, but there's a feeling of family. In fact, one of the things that happened when he was born, a nurse came over to me in the NICU and she said to me he had swelling on his brain after birth and they couldn't figure out where it was from and what was going on. And HaKol Miyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it took 2 days to figure out that one of his amino acids in his body was highly, highly elevated to a point that was toxic, that was causing swelling on the brain. And it's not something that you would typically test for. And one of the nurses came over to me when we got to the NICU, and when they, after 2 days and running 60 tests, when they found what the problem was that was causing the swelling on his brain, and they got the medicine to bring it down, she came over to me and she said, "Boy, are you lucky your child was born in Israel." I said, "Why?" She said, "Because in America they would have given up after 20 tests." Aval kan lo nevatrim al yelet shelan. Here we do not give up on one of our children. We keep going and going and going. Anyway, why am I sharing this story? So in his journey in the first 6 months of his life, he was born in Hadassah in Kerem. He was in the NICU in Hadassah, Har Tzofim. He spent a month in Alim and then ended up in the PICU in Hadassah in Kerem. And our last PICU joint in Hadassah in Kerem, the head of the PICU was Dr. Ido Yatziv, Zichrono Livracha. Whenever we were in Israel, we were experiencing meeting new doctors. And since we were American, one of the things that they always liked to tell us about was their stage, which good doctors in Israel spend a fellowship year or two in America, which they call stage, in an American hospital. And those are the doctors that will move up in the Israeli hospital system. So he would always tell us how he spent his stage in Maryland. Tov, leave that aside. Why am I talking about Miniola? I was talking about Miniola because you can experience elevate all of your lives. So imagine this is my first experience in a hospital in America with my son. And it's Rosh Hashanah. And I give a huge Hakar Satov always to the Chabad Rabbi and Rebbetzin, the Pearls of Miniola, who took us in, I think, on an hour's notice on Erev Rosh Hashanah that year. And my husband went to the Minyan in Miniola with Rabbi Pearl, which was a very unique Rosh Hashanah experience for him as well. And there are no Orthodox Jews in Miniola. So here was the Rabbi of the White Shul and the Chabad Rabbi and a bunch of secular Jews, and Baruch Hashem. It was beautiful experience, but different. And I was walking up the stairs in the hospital. And as I'm walking up the stairs in the hospital, I'm saying to Hashem, "Please, Hashem, let the attending doctor be a kind person." I was so scared of dealing with Goyim, like I had just dealt only with Jewish doctors, and it is a different experience. And I get up to the room, because in those days, which is only 10 years ago, there was no sleeping bed size in PICUs. That has changed. So parents can sleep in PICUs now, but their parents were not able to stay bedside. And and I was told that the attending doctor's name was Dr. Stromboli. But I hope he's nice. So, of course, he wants my son's medical history, and he asked him what last PICU he was in. And I said, well, he was born in Israel, and actually the last PICU he was in Hadassah in Karim. And he said to me, oh, Ido Yatsiv, we were together in Maryland! Is that crazy? Hashem is amazing. Just pay attention to his messages in your lives, and you'll be doing great. That is paying attention. But we drew that in from the fact that there are nitzotzot of Kedusha that we can find everywhere Hashem puts us, and we need to pick them up. That is our job. Anshe Kodesh Tiyuli. Be people who are holy. And I need to ask myself all the time, how do I spend my time? With whom? Where? Doing what? Everything I do in life can be holy if it is elevated. If I really do have that Mabat HaEmes, which says, this is truth. My husband always loves to quote this concept, which is just a reality, a historical reality. Do you know that in the yeshivas of Europe, they did not have the Bein Hazmanim that yeshivas here have? Does anybody know that? Like in Navardok or Slobodka or any of the yeshivas of Europe, they didn't have the Bein Hazmanim. Bein Hazmanim is typical in the yeshiva of the world today, is from Rosh Chodesh Nisan until after Pesach, from the day after Tisha B'Av until Rosh Chodesh Elul. These are called Bein Hazmanim times. Because in the European yeshivas, when guys needed a break so that they could focus better on their learning, they took a day off. So that Bein Hazmanim wasn't set times, it was when you needed it. So it was part of the avoda of learning Torah was taking breaks when you needed them. What would happen in yeshivas today if we told guys they could take 1 or 2 day breaks whenever they needed them? Chaos. Therefore, we have programmed in set times that are Bein Hazmanim. But why I'm using that as an example is that means vacation can be elevated. It can be a sanctified time where I am refurbishing my soul after a long semester in Stern College. But then what am I doing with my vacation, and where am I going, and how am I experiencing it? So again, whatever I'm doing, wherever I'm doing, still has to be Kodesh. Anche Kodesh Chiyuli. That is my avoda. Can I elevate it? Can I elevate it? Is this experience elevatable? If it's not, then possibly it should not be part of my life experience. But that everything I'm doing can be, again, Jewish women, we like nice clothing. But why am I wearing it? How am I wearing it? For what am I wearing it? What message am I trying to send? So again, Anche Kodesh Tiyuli. It can be used for Kedusha, but how am I using it? And I love his ending. So I'm going back to Rav Shor. He quotes the Sfas Emes. Has anyone heard of the Sfas Emes in your experience? Do you know who he was? The Gera Rebbe, two Gera Rebbes ago. The Rebbe Migur. My husband always tells a story. This happened to my husband years and years and years ago. There's a big ger, a base medrash on Rehov Shmuel Hanavi. No, Rehov Bar Ilan, when it hits the top. And I don't know why he was in there, but he was waiting for somebody. I think, I don't remember if we were married in this story or not, but he took off his jacket and he was waiting, and he took off his jacket, took out a sefer, and he started to learn. And Chassid taps him on the back and he says, Slicha, kan lovshim chalifa. In here, when we're learning, what do? We wear jackets. We wear jackets. But anyway, that's just a side note. But it means that they have a uniform in their base medrash, and when you go someplace, when in Rome, do as the Romans. If you would want to take an adventure, and you would want to explore some place interesting in America, take a Shabbos in Square Town. But then you have to know how they expect girls to look in Square Town. You have to dress that way because you're going there. You can have chavayot in America, too, by the way. I remember I had a friend from seminary who lived in Borough Park. And I remember the first time, and I think that was the only time I was ever in Borough Park for Shabbos. It was like going to another country. Totally different. Totally different. So, you know, we had our chavayot in Eretz Yisrael. Like, you can still have them here. Anyway, what this last embassy says, Ha'ohev mitzapeh u'miyachel b'mal la'asot. One who loves another always is looking. Mitzapeh u'miyachel. He is searching for and hoping for the opportunity to do something for the one they love. Isn't that true? When you love somebody, you always want to do for them. Ha'ohev mitzapeh u'miyachel b'mal la'asot l'ritzon kono. So if you love God, what are you always looking for? Opportunities to do and make him happy. I'm always looking for that. Umisha ene sechelo, and somebody who has eyes of wisdom. You should praise and you should thank God that he gave us mitzvos. V'chol ma sheyesh hasata yoter la yetzahara, and the more the yetzahara is trying to push us, yoter chesed elyon. This is more kindness from God. The more I really want to see that movie, the more the Yetzer is pushing me, this is a greater kindness from God. Why? She yesh li b'ma ligrom nachat ruach liyotzmi. Because I can cause more nachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the more the Yetzer is pushing me to go there, to watch that, to wear that, and I win, the greater opportunity I have to give him nachas, to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu nachas. So thank you. So says Rav Shor. Again, I mentioned that Rav Shor lives in Brooklyn today. So I think we know the barometer of like where the material world of the Jewish, Orthodox Jewish community is today. Like what the experience is. And I actually wrote up this shiur in an article that was in Mishpacha magazine last week. And the magazine, like 5 pages later, described some experience in some restaurants of 10-course meal of food that I couldn't even pronounce, but most of it was cold. And I thought, like, what a contrast. You have, like, my article on uplifting this world, and then another article about just how the Jewish world has to experience every kind of eating possible. Every kind of eating possible. I think to myself, all of us, can think to ourselves, for me it's my grandparents, for you it's your great-grandparents, they could not fathom what people are eating today. There is no way where they came from that this was even a cheshek. It wasn't even a desire. They were happy to have a nice, good piece of cake. And that was good. It was fine. It was life. The ability, the ability, you know, a very interesting point that somebody pointed out in the teacher's room in the high school that I'm working in now today. She said, when we were in high school, there was the rich girl, and the rich girl had what the rich girl had. And then the girl who wasn't so rich didn't have it, and it was okay. Today, everybody needs to have the best of everything. Everybody needs to have the best of everything, and the pressure to have the everything and what the everything can possibly be is huge. And says Rav Shor, people come to him, and they say to him, but Rebbe, it's too hard. I can't withstand the pressures. I can't withstand the pressures of this material world. I can't withstand the pressures. And he says, I'm quoting him directly in Hebrew, Eino baya. This is not a problem. This is not a problem. Yesh lahodot la Hashem yisbarach. We have to thank Hashem that we live in 2019. Shevara et hayetzer she'al yado yicholim la'asot nachat ruach liyotro. He gave us a yetzahara, and we can then, through the yetzahara, give nachas to Hashem. Ubiyoter hayom. And even more so today, v'dor shafel, and our low generation, we can give, he says, more nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu shelo zachinu avotenu b'dorotayim hakodmim. That in the past generation, they couldn't. Because if they only ate chicken on Shabbos, and not even the best kind of chicken. You know, I was thinking, like, in the shtetl, how many dresses do you even think the wealthy girl in the shtetl had? Five? Because she was rich? We can give what he says in this material world, where materialism is not just in the plentiful, in the plentiness, but also in the gluttony, also in the needing so much of the experiencing of this world, and that there is just so much of everything, and it's so plentiful. He says, "Eino baya." We have the opportunity. Shelo haya la'avotenu ha'bedorot ha'kodmim. They didn't have this opportunity. They had other opportunities for Kiddush Hashem. They sure did. But this is an opportunity for Kedusha that we have, that is specific to our door, to the door of plentiness. To the door where there is so much in the material world that is so easily accessible. And to want, and want, and want, and want, and have, and have, and have, and have. And again, going back to what we said, nothing in God's world that he created is lacking the potential for sanctity. But the opposite of sanctity is overindulgence. An interesting thing about Kodesh, the word Kodesh, that the Maharal talks about exclusively and extensively, which we translate as holiness, right? We translate Kodesh as holiness. Kodesh is exclusivity. Kodesh is exclusivity. It's not overabundance. It's that something is exclusive. The holiest place in the world was the place we called Kodesh Kedashim, the Holy of Holies. One person, one day a year. Exclusive. Exclusivity is Kedusha. Kedusha is boundaries and borders. Not everything, everywhere, all the time. That is Anshe Kodesh. It means there are really, really amazing things in this world that I can eat, and I can wear, and I can use, and I can go to. But how much, and where, and when? That's my experience. Just to further that mashal, when things were given to the Mikdash that could only be used for the Mikdash, do you know what they were called? Hekdesh. That means it's been set aside. A man puts a ring on a woman, and what does he say? Hare at Mekudeshet. That means nobody else's. Just mine. My wife. Just mine. And thank you, Rabbeinu Gershon. He's just my husband. Just mine. But that's what Kiddushin is. Only us. Only us. The opposite of Kedusha is anybody, any night. So that translates to our Yom Yomi as well. The opposite of Kedusha is everything all the time. Nothing is special. Kedusha is elevate. Let's decide what I can elevate, how I can elevate, when I should elevate, what I should elevate. Every experience of my life, again, can be elevated. We should have bracha and atzlacha and nachas and a good year ahead and a cheshvan that is ram, that uplifts us in its yom yomi, day to day, every single day amazingness all the time. So, and hafacha on your midterms. But I'm going to say something to you that you heard from your teachers and maybe parents all over and over and over and over again, but it's really true. The biggest test is life. Good for all of you. Thank you so much. Good.
You smiled a lot.
In the
can I do the recording? That's really